Let's open our Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, great God, our Father in heaven, Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to have this chance, this time to come before you, Father God. I thank you for the saints, Lord. What an awesome body you have created, Father God, both here in Billings and worldwide, Father God. It's a force that's going through the world, taking the gospel where it needs to be heard, which is everywhere, Father. I thank you for the diligence of this local assembly and getting the gospel to Billings. It's exciting to see, Bible studies going on, people, new creations happening, Lord. I just pray that this message tonight helps and encourages the saints, Father God, and gives them some encouragement, a tool, whatever. I just hope it helps them out and in this battle, Father God, and being victorious for Jesus Christ, Lord. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our guide. He's our friend. He's everything, Father God. He's the one we serve. Just be with us tonight. We bring this message. May the words be encouraging and accurate and just be from your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I kind of started there. I was thinking, what's a prophet? Kind of thinking about that a little bit, kind of going through my head. Who's a prophet? So that's kind of what I want to look at tonight. Let's start by looking at the definition. The word prophet shows up, in the Old Testament first and foremost. So we'll go with that one. The word used there in I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I believe it's Navi. Something like that, okay? But the definition of the word means spokesperson. So the definition of a prophet is a spokesperson. One thing that I want to start with here is it doesn't actually have to. A lot of times when we think of prophet, prophecy, prophet, all this stuff, you think, oh, God, divine revelation. And most of the time in the context of the Scripture, it is. But it doesn't actually have to mean a prophet does not have to be a spokesperson of God. It can actually just be a spokesperson. Jump to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus 7, and we're just going to read verse 1. Exodus 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. So Aaron had a prophet. His prophet was, Moses had a prophet. His spokesperson was Aaron. Most of the time in Scripture, and even in there, it actually does, hint at God. But, who was going to be Moses' spokesperson? It was going to be Aaron. Aaron was his spokesperson, the one speaking for him. So, this is important because a lot of times, when we think of prophet, I don't know, there's been movies about prophet. The prophet's always lightning going, all sorts of things going on. But really, the miraculous signs, don't always have to accompany the message. Most of the context that we're going to look at tonight, it does mean someone speaking to God, speaking for God. But it doesn't necessarily require all the hoopla that the world sometimes equates with it. Jump to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And read verses 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire any more, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So here we see the definition of prophet, and this is talking about Moses and even flash forward to Jesus. that is talking about a prophet that will be speaking the words of God. You know, during this time where Deuteronomy was written, there weren't any scriptures. So, when you said, hey, look it up in, Exodus, chapter 1 or whatever, you couldn't do that because there was no Exodus chapter 1 when this was written. So there were no scriptures. Mankind had a conscience, but he didn't do a very good job in keeping on track spiritually. Most of the time when you read the Pentateuch, the Exodus, and those the books in Genesis, you see that the flesh won out. Man didn't, the man's conscience wasn't enough to guide him and to help him to do, or to guide him in doing what's right. So God rose up prophets. We got the definition there in verses 18 and 19. A prophet was someone that God would put his words in his mouth. God didn't exist physically on the earth at that time, so in order for God to communicate to the people, and since they didn't have a written word of God, the only way they could communicate to the people under the Old Testament was to raise up a prophet. God needed a spokesperson on earth. He doesn't dwell in the flesh, so he needed a spokesperson, someone to speak for him. He used human vessels. In the Old Testament, a lot of times these individuals did have miraculous signs and gifts, and these would accompany their messages. But the reason they had those gifts was so to get people to believe them. It wasn't really necessarily had to be there. A definition of a prophet isn't someone who could do the signs. A definition of a prophet is someone who could speak the word of God, who could communicate to the people what God expected. It wasn't, the miracles that would accompany them. Moses had signs in front of Pharaoh's. You can think of the incidents of turning the staff into snakes and the various signs that he had when he was speaking to Pharaoh. But why did he have those signs? To get Pharaoh to listen to him. That didn't validate what he was saying. He was a prophet because he spoke the word of God. The signs backed up the miracles. The signs backed up the words. The signs didn't... The signs were there to help get the word across. The signs weren't there. They weren't more important than the words. I don't know if I'm communicating that correctly. The words are what was important, not the signs. Let's stay there. Let's read 20 through 22 there in Deuteronomy 18. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet will die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You should not be afraid of him. Basically, if a prophet said something, and he predicted, sometimes one of the signs that would accompany a prophet would be predicting a future event. If it didn't happen that way, then that guy's not a prophet. That's a pretty good way to find out he's not a true prophet. So if someone claims to be from God, spoke of a future event or had miraculous signs or whatsoever, and those things didn't come true, then that prophet was not a prophet. So that would be how the people would tell that person was a prophet or not. But this has to be kept in context, though. I ran into this scripture, and honestly, I didn't even know this was here. It was kind of interesting. Jump a few pages back to Deuteronomy chapter 13. We read 1 through 5. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, or let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil among you. And say, these signs or wonders have to be kept in context. Here it speaks of a dreamer of dreams who has signs and wonders. And the signs and wonders might even become true. And what does it say? Well, if he's counseling you to not follow the Lord your God, it doesn't matter. The signs can validate the word, but what's more important, the words or the signs? The words, you know, because if the signs are contrary to the words the guy is speaking, you're supposed to take the words as truth, and you're supposed to stone the guy and kill him. You know, a prophet who claims to be from God but does miraculous signs, if the message is contrary to God's fundamental teaching, then you're supposed to kill the prophet. This kind of goes against the whole worship experience, doesn't it? The experience cannot trump the scriptures. Feelings or events cannot cannot contradict God's words. This is something to keep in mind as we go through this. God's commandments can never be overturned by miracles or signs. The scriptures are what's the most important. And a true prophet has to have, first and foremost, accurate commandments from God. The signs can accompany, and if signs accompany, great, they can validate. But if the signs accompany a false message, then we can't believe the message. You know, a true prophet will have the message and the works. The two work together to get God's message out. But what I kind of hinted at it earlier when I was talking, for prophets did not always come with signs and wonders. I think one of the more notable prophets, when I came up, there's a bunch of them in the Old Testament, is Samuel. Jump to 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was concerned as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again to Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Everyone knew that Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. You know, when you read this, though, how did they know he was a prophet of the Lord? That's what I kind of went through my mind. We don't have any inclination there, any evidence, you know, that he'd done some miraculous signs or gifts. We don't really know. But my question, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Actually, if you read through Scripture, there is, at least from what I saw, and maybe I missed it, but I don't see anywhere where Samuel actually performed any miraculous signs. He did foretell of some events with David and Saul's kingdom and anointing them as kings, but we don't ever see him like Elijah calling down fire or anything like that. Samuel, you know, how did they know Samuel was a prophet? Well, we don't know. But I think the major thing was it had to do with what Samuel said. It had to do with his words. Samuel, whatever Samuel spoke, it was consistent with what God expected of Israel. You know, there was quite a bit laid out for Israel at this point in their history. They had the law, they had the Pentateuch, all the five books of Moses. You know, so they had that. Whatever Samuel was speaking to the people, it was consistent with what was written in those books. You know, Samuel was consistent in his message. His message backed up with what they had as scriptures at that point in time. You know, we don't see Samuel as being everyone knowing him as a prophet because of what he did. I think they knew Samuel was a prophet because of what he spoke. It was his words. He was consistent in his message and guidance to the nation of Israel and their relationship with God. Because of that, it's clear that Samuel had some divine revelation from God on certain events, like the anointing of Saul and David. God used Samuel because of what Samuel said and did. What I'm driving at is, I mean, we don't know for sure, you know, if, you know, Samuel, I guess, was a prophet born. I guess my question to think about was Samuel born a prophet, or was he a prophet because of what he said and did? Because of his actions. Was he a guy that God could use because he listened to God? Or was he born with some special ability? I'm not totally sure. I don't really have an answer there. But I do know that we see Samuel from a young age was listening to God. And he's a guy that God could use. Like I say, I don't know the exact answer if he was born a prophet. I don't know if prophets are actually born. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it says that, at least prophets with a specific divine revelation from God. We do see a gift in the New Testament, which we'll look at moving forward. But something to think about. Did God use these guys because of who they were? I think so. These were people who were obedient to God from initial onset. And then God could use them as his mouthpiece. Like, what is a prophet? It's someone who's a spokesperson for God. These were spokespeople for God. You know, we look at Moses, or you can look at Samuel there. And they were humble to God. They were obedient to God. So God could then use them as his mouthpiece. So what about the New Testament? Well, once again, let's look at one of the first prophets we see there. Let's jump to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verses 7 through 11. As these men were going away, Matthew 11, verses 7 through 11, as these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing. Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger of you who will prepare your way before me. He's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist right there, Jesus says he's a prophet. So he's a prophet. He confirms that John was a prophet. What confirmed John as a prophet? Was it his actions? Well, it was kind of. I mean, he was obviously, you know, preaching the word of God, going out, you know, baptizing people for forgiveness of sins. But it was also his words. It was his actions and his words. Kind of like we looked at earlier. The actions and the words have to be there. If he just had the actions but no words, he wouldn't have been a prophet. It was his message. You know, what is John spoken of there? He's a messenger. You know, a messenger, for the most part, has to use words. You know, he was a messenger to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. Well, here's a question about messengers. If someone is given a message and they don't deliver the message, are they a messenger? Probably not. You know, if I have a message but I don't take it, if someone says, here, give this to, tell Mr. Moranzik, you know, snow's great in Red Lodge, and I never tell him, and I just kind of take that information and stuff it, you know, I'm not a messenger to John Moranzik, you know, because I didn't take the message. You know, even if you have the message but you don't deliver the message, you're not a messenger. You know, he was a messenger because he accurately took the message and got it out. By definition, a messenger has to deliver the message, or at least try. You know, there can be that has to be their purposes and intent of they might be get interfered with. So you can kill the messenger. You can, you know, hold the messenger back. But if the messenger's desire is to get the message out, then they're a messenger. John was a prophet. He was a spokesperson for God. He was a messenger taking preparing the people for Jesus. And how did he prepare the people? He preached to the people. He was sat there by the Jordan River and he preached to the people, and he kind of started things rolling with his immersion for forgiveness of sins. It wasn't the whole picture. Jesus was to fulfill that with his ministry. But he faithfully took the message that had been given to him and preached to the people. One thing about it, kind of I've got to bring this up in a few points, is we don't see John performing any miracles. At least, I don't really recall any in there, unless you call the Spirit coming down on Jesus, but I don't really know how much John had to do with that. You know, we don't have any recorded instances of John doing miracles. And I want to keep driving at miracle, being the ability to do miracles or to tell the future or whatever that may be, that does not make a prophet. At best, they help they help back up what the prophet says. They put a validity on it. If a prophet can do something that only a God can do, then they put validity on his message. But the miracles in and of themselves or signs do not make a prophet. What makes a prophet is the accuracy of their message and their commitment to getting that message out. So they got to have a message, and to be a prophet of God, it has to be God's words, not theirs, and then they have to be committed to getting that message out and actually delivering the message. But what does this have to do with us? Well, Luke terrified me this morning when he went to Ezekiel chapter 37, because I wrote this yesterday. But we're going to go to Ezekiel 37 again. To hear it twice in one day, I'm sure couldn't be a bad thing. It's a great passage of Scripture, and I'm going to hit it a little differently than he did. Hopefully it ties in. Ezekiel 37, we're going to read 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there was very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. He said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you and make your flesh grow back on you. Cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. The bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and behold, sinews were on them. Flesh grew, and skin covered them. And there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up. Our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Had these dry bones come to life? Like I say, Luke's message this morning was awesome. I think, it actually takes care of anything. We know what the dry bones are. They're the church. 100% right. It was fantastic the way Luke brought this out. They come to life by the Spirit of God coming in them. The breath that, like Luke brought out, the breath that comes into them is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's entering a dead body, a person that is dead because of sin. But in this revelation, or in this vision that comes to Ezekiel, he is more than a passive watcher. Okay? He is active in this vision. It says, prophesy to them. And he says, so I prophesied to them. And as I prophesied to them. Ezekiel is an active participant of this vision. Ezekiel is commanding the bones to become alive. What's prophecy? Well, it's the action that a prophet would do would be speaking the word. So, God, it's jump back there real quick. It says, prophesy and say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's interesting. You know, Ezekiel told the bones to listen to the word of God. You know, take this to the picture like Luke was bringing out this morning. If that's the church, someone is telling the dead people to listen to the word of God to become the live people. So in that picture, what would Ezekiel be? Ezekiel would be the church going out there and getting the message to the lost world around them. God talks to the bones, but Ezekiel tells the bones to listen to God. In a side note, anyone who'd say that these are literal bones is going to have a hard time explaining this. Physical bones, don't listen. At least I don't think they do. That's because this is a picture. This is a picture of people that are dead in the sins. But in order for this vision to happen, two things take place. Ezekiel tells the bones to listen to the word of God. And the word of God, these people are listening to the word of God. What's really the purpose of the church? To get the gospel out there. You know, what do we do? All we can do is, take the scriptures and put it in front of people's face. Eventually, they got to believe it for themselves. You can't make anybody believe. You can't make anybody, you can't make them, you can't believe for them. All you can do is get them to listen to the Word of God. If they won't listen to the Word of God, what are they going to do? They're going to stay dead. They're going to stay dry bones. Our job is to get people to listen, just like Ezekiel. I think Ezekiel here is a picture of the church. Ezekiel had to be an active participant. He had to speak to the bones and appeal to them to listen to the word of the Lord. So the question is, what if Ezekiel never told the bones to listen to the word of God? Would the bones become alive? No. No, Ezekiel was active. Ezekiel had to be the active participant. Someone had to be the spokesperson to tell the bones to listen. That's what Ezekiel does. If Ezekiel does not speak to the bones, then none of this happens. going with the analogy, if the bones are people dead in their sins, dead in the world, who's Ezekiel? Ezekiel's a church. Ezekiel does not prophesize, the bones don't come to life. The church does not preach, church doesn't grow. The world stays dead. So, taking this fully around, if Ezekiel's a prophet, are Christians a prophet? Prophets? Yeah, they are. You know. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say you got the gift of prophecy given by the Holy Spirit, you know, by the laying on of the apostles' hands. I don't think that. You know, unless you got your Bible with a bow on it. Then you got a gift. You know. But think about it. Why does God need to give the gift of prophecy? The gift, as I'm talking about, the proper gift of the laying on of the apostles' hands. Let's say you got that. What could you say? Could you say anything that's not in the Bible? No. So what extra could it give you to say? Nothing. You don't see what I'm driving at? You don't need the gift of prophecy. You've got God. They had the gift of prophecy in the New Testament church because they didn't have the Bible. You know, those guys had to know what to say. But now that you got the Bible, now you have the Bible, you can be a prophet, a spokesperson for God. In fact, you are a spokesperson for God, and you don't have to have any sort of laying on of the hands or miraculous gifts. God does not need to tell us anything else about the message we are to give to this world. Jump to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So you can read verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Well, all Scripture is good. Where does all Scripture come? It comes from our opening verse, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. It's prophecy. This is the prophecy. This is all we need to get out there and help the world around us. This is what the world has to hear. God has nothing else to reveal to man. It's all contained in your Bible. Whether it's electronic, physical, or whatever it may be. You've got it. Now it's just a matter of getting it out to the world. What was the definition of prophet? Definition of a prophet is not someone who has, you know, some gifts or could do special abilities. He was a spokesperson for God. A lot of times those gifts were there to confirm the message spoken was from God. We don't really need that now. We got so many, we got more tools available than they had. You know, presentation Mr. Schaefer did on the evolution, creation, and age of the earth. Fantastic. You got museums you can go to. I mean, there's so much evidence God has given us. We are God's prophets today. We have the world's, the message needs to hear, and we're going to be God's mouthpiece in the world today. God's not physically going to talk on this earth. Jesus isn't, when he comes back, it's game over. You know, it's done. You know, so his mouthpiece on the world today is the church. The church is God's prophet. We have the message the world needs to hear. Telling the future is something that could help us, a prophet establish the truth. But like I said, we don't need that today. And really what value is in it? What is the value in being able to foretell the future or be able to do some special work if a soul isn't saved? It's a nice parlor trick, but it really doesn't get a lot done. You know, put it into context. Which would you rather do? Be able to foretell the future and have the winning Powerball numbers and have 192 million or have one save one soul? I hope it's one soul, you know. Yeah, sure, 192 million is nice, but one person. If you can just get one, take one person with you to heaven, you've done way more than 192 million. Telling the future or any other miracle that you want to put in there is great for a visual effect, but in the end it will never save a soul. What's going to save a soul? The Word of God. Getting people to listen to the Word of God. That's what got those dry bones to change, was listening to the Word of God. But there had to be an intermediary between there, and that was Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet speaking for God. The church, we are the intermediate. We are the prophet for God. We are the one who's going to be speaking for him on this earth because he doesn't exist in the flesh. And like we looked at earlier, which has more weight? Being able to do signs, wonders, foretell the future, or the accuracy of the scriptures? Accuracy of the scriptures. We saw that in the Old Testament. If a prophet had miraculous powers, but his message wasn't in line with God's teachings, didn't matter. His whatever signs and wonders he did were or invalid. This holds true today. Some may say, and most of you probably have ran into this, you know, my mom's horrible when I have to talk these things out with her. She goes, how could the Methodists be wrong? Look at all the good works we do. You know, and they do good works. They have props and charities. How could the Salvation Army be wrong? They're a religious denomination, if you didn't know. They do a lot of good works. A lot of people get some blankets and stuff from them, some clothes. Faith Chapel, look at that big building. I mean, come on. All those people go there. They have a grace. How could they be wrong? You know, I don't care what signs and wonders any of these organizations do. I don't care how benevolent they are, how many people they feed, or what. If their message is not according to the Word of God, it's null and void. That's how it was under the Old Covenant. That's how it is under the New Covenant. It does not matter. What matters first and foremost is being accurate in the message that is spoken to the world around us. These large religious organizations are not being accurate in the message they are speaking. So no matter what good works they do, it totally invalidates anything they do. A prophet is first and foremost validated on their message, and then on their works. The works follow the message, but the message has to be true. We're no different today. A prophet is validated on the message, then the works. We need to be the modern day prophets, accurately speaking the Word of God. And by all means, the church needs to have the works backing it up. You know, need to be, you know, the works are good, but they back up the message. In fact, we got the best miracle out there. You want to do a miracle? Preach the message of reconciliation with Christ to a dying soul, lost soul, and have them regenerated into a new life. I mean, you know, this is a great assembly because it's really cool. A lot of you come from some various backgrounds. You know, I know a handful of your backgrounds are awesome because that background's totally gone and changed. That old man is dead. World can't do that. World can't change an individual soul. You know, those people that go to Faith Chapel, they go have that nice experience and spend the rest of their week, you know, in misery. And you see it continually going round and round. You know, to truly save a lost soul, to preach the message and have a Christian become have a person become a new creation in Christ, that's a powerful, powerful miracle. And that's the works that back up the accurate message. That's the works that God wants to see. Let's close with Acts chapter 3 and read 22 and 23. This is actually kind of a quote from what we were reading earlier. Acts chapter 3, 22 and 23. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, to whom you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Okay, Jesus is the ultimate prophet. You know, the word of God that we have comes from him. Now, we're to get that message out to the around us. What's going to happen to the people who don't heed the message of Jesus Christ? Going to be utterly destroyed. You know, Jesus isn't here to speak verbally or speak physically to the world. So we're his prophet today to get that message out. Who's going to hear the message of Jesus? Who's going to hear the message from Jesus today? Who are they going to hear it from? They're going to hear it from us. You know, who lives in you? We are Christ to the world around us. Jesus can't physically speak to anyone anymore. So we're his mouthpiece. We're his prophet. We're his spokesperson on this planet. He has given us the words to speak. He has filled our mouth with what to say. We're the messenger. You know, we want to be a messenger, so we take the message out. Like I say, for order to be a messenger, we have to actually deliver the message to who is intended for. You know, the Bible is intended to build us up, but Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go and take the message to the world around you. Preach. You know, that's a massive paraphrase there. We have everything we need. There is no divine revelation that God can give us. You know, he's not going to say anything else. If we had some, you know, I mean, he's not going to say anything. That he's spoken and he's given us what to say. If we don't get the message out, who will? No one. You know, bones can't come alive if no one preaches to them. Everything he has to say, he has already said. And he's written down in the Bible. The baton has been passed us, has been laid down. We are God's prophets. We are God's spokesperson. We are God's mouthpiece. We are God's messengers today. So I encourage you, church, go out and preach that message. Be a messenger to a world that desperately needs it. Thanks.